You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS FM 98.3 and 102.1, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Welcome to Key Facts with Grady Pettigrew, law and business for everyday living. And thank you for joining us. We're going to talk about an important aspect in our and in every community, and it has to do with health and wellness and health resources. I guess we have defined a pretty broad topic for today. But we're going to have some help with an expert in dealing with the issue of community health and wellness, and also a couple of points concerning individual health and wellness. I'm pleased to have John Tolbert in the studio, and I guess I'm going to let you tell our listeners who you are, since it depends on what stage or frame of life you've had two or three incarnations, right?
This is true. Well, first, I appreciate you having me on, and I think what you're doing in way of serving the community with good vital information is very important to our community. My name is John Tolbert, and I'm currently the Director of Community Services for the Columbus Neighborhood Health Center, Incorporated. And a little bit about myself. Prior coming to the CNHC, Columbus Neighborhood Health Center, I was the director of community health for the Columbus Public Health Department. And I've been involved in providing information to the community on health for more years than I would like to even mention here. But I also have been involved with higher education. I teach health management classes at Franklin and leadership management classes at Wilberforce University. So I've been involved directly with community outreach for a number of years. And, you know, I guess it all evolved because right out of college, I got involved with the State of Ohio Health Department. And to be honest with you, it was just, to me at the time, a job. But then I finally got interested in health. I started cycling. That led me to eating healthy. Eating healthy led me to trying to live a healthier lifestyle, and so it became a little bit more of a passion for me. So I've just been working in the community trying to get people to be aware of options about being healthy and creating a healthy lifestyle.
Well, I guess I'm going to come back to this issue of why a healthy lifestyle is important, but first tell me what the Columbus Neighborhood Health Centers, what is that and what does it do?
You know, it's really interesting. Columbus Neighborhood Health Centers have been around for a little over 17 years. In 1998, seven community health centers merged into what is now called Columbus Neighborhood Health Center. This started with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, which, you know, designated Columbus Neighborhood Health Center as what we call the FQHC, Federally Qualified Health Center. And that was so that we could increase access to health care right here in Columbus. And today we have eight health centers located in culturally diverse neighborhoods, all located where people have easy access to these services. And so CNHC's commitment is to quality health care. And basically what that means is that we provide personal patient care, access to the state-of-art technology, actually, which enables everyone to realize that we are the fastest-growing urban health center in Central Ohio. And primarily, we look at providing access to patients so that they can get primary health care, dental and vision services, nutrition planning. A big one is diabetes education and other specialty medical services for the entire family. And so we're kind of dedicated to improving the quality of life through providing access to high-quality health care here in Columbus.
So actually, you're not just teaching about resources. You're actually providing primary health care.
Primary health care.
Okay.
In much-needed neighborhoods.
Okay. I guess I have a little bit of experience on what happens when you don't have that, because many years ago I represented Echo Family Health Center when it went under.
Yes.
9,000 patients who no longer had a place to go.
Mm-hmm.
And number one problem, they flooded the emergency rooms. because they had no place to go. And the administrators of the various hospitals said, we need to do something about that. And the other thing was their medical records.
Right.
When they went somewhere, they didn't have the benefit of a medical record, which is pretty key in mm-hmm. the United States to mm-hmm. medical care. So if you want to see it really bad, try to do without it, you know. I'm glad that the response has been, let us proactively plan and make available those resources.
Well, you just dated yourself. So. Because I remember Echo Family Health Center, Billy Brown Health Center, and those health centers were merged to create Columbus Neighborhood Health Center because we realized that the community couldn't go without health care.
Right.
And even after they were formed, we still had people, patients, that would use the emergency room as their primary care facility. So.
And that's unfortunate because the emergency room is not your best place primary care. They don't have the time, and the certification just makes it economically ill-advised.
Ill-advised.
So you basically then are telling us about the organization, mm-hmm. but I guess I was very interested in hearing in terms of your personal evolution in terms of your concern mm-hmm. about health for yourself as well as the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that from a career in the law where in the law there's always a winner and a loser.
Right.
I don't care. You have a plaintiff and a defendant. One is going to win and one's going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about improving health, there are no losers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, other than some politicians who feel that there are people who shouldn't have improved health. But there are no losers because if the individual has better health, it affects the family. So how did you move from this, not it was a job, to this passion and concern about health?
Well, I'm kind of glad you asked that because it really started out as a job, as a career. And the more I got involved in our community, the more I saw the number of people who had all kind of chronic illnesses and no primary care physician, not knowing where to go to get health services, and a lack of education. Now, let me clarify that. When I say lack of education in the health field, I'm talking about health education. Things like how to eat healthy, the importance of exercise, the importance of sleep. So I began to look at myself and say, well, you know, there's some other things I can do. Now, one of the things I've learned real quick is that before you go out there and start talking about other people getting healthy, you better look the part and practice what you preach.
Mm-hmm.
And so that evolved into me being more in tune with talking to people about what they need to do to improve their overall health. But more importantly, at least in Columbus, there are a number of people that don't realize that there are resources out there available for everyone to go to have access to some type of health care. So that's what Columbus Neighborhood Health Center does. It provides that access in all these different neighborhoods. And, you know, we have health centers in the most diverse neighborhoods, east, west, south, north sides of town, mm-hmm. so that people can get to them. And so I guess my passion led me into a number of careers that just focused on community health.
Well, in this process, there are people who just don't know. And I guess one simple example, there are people who think that potato chips are the same as potatoes. There are people who think that that orange-colored drink that you can buy that has a name, Sunny, whatever the name is on it, is the same as orange juice.
Mm-hmm.
So is that a part of what you run into, giving people accurate information on things like nutrition?
Well, yes. From a standpoint of not overburdening them with details and statistics and stuff like that, I just try to keep it real simple. And I always remember what my mother used to tell my sister. My sister early on was overweight. And my mother didn't have but an eighth grade education, but she knew the importance of food as a way to improve your health. She would say to my sister, you know, you're digging your grave with your fork.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never forgot that because, actually, one of the biggest problems that we have, particularly in our community, is what we eat.
Right.
Maybe I should change that. It's what we don't eat.
Mm-hmm.
We feel that, you know, all the traditional foods that we eat are good for us. Some of them are. It just depends upon how you prepare them. So I run into this all the time with people complaining about high blood pressure or some type of chronic illness. And if you look at their lifestyle, that's what led them to that.
Yes.
And then some of it you can't help. If you're in that gene pool, some things you just can't get away from.
Sure. Well, and unfortunately, there are a couple of lifestyles that we have changed. There was a time when there were people who said, just eat like your grandmother used to cook.
Right, right.
But also at that time, we walked everywhere. There were physical exercise that went with it. And
right.
so stick to your rib meals were right. not the same as a meal from a fast food place that's
exactly.
really made up. What is the one food-like substances?
Right.
I mean, there's a major company that is selling food-like substances. What is that? That's a different show, right? One of the things that we are really confronted with big time right now is youngsters, 14, 15 years old, who are wearing 6X, 4X, 6X, and bigger. Do you see them as you move through the community, these huge kids that can barely walk? They certainly aren't doing that for athletics.
Yeah. I can give you one example that was just mind-boggling to me. We were in a elementary school, and this young boy was in the fifth grade. He weighed 180 pounds. And what we had set up in the school was a opportunity for nurses to come in and provide just basic screenings. And they took his blood pressure, and his blood pressure was so high that they said to him, you got to go to the emergency room right now.
Right.
This is a fifth grader.
Right.
And someone said, do you feel okay? And he said, I feel fine. Well, that was his normal.
Right.
That's how he has always felt.
Right.
He didn't even realize it. And then we got him to the hospital and then contacted his parents, of course. And then I'll just say it, when we met the parents, we understood why, mm-hmm. because they too were overweight,
sure.
eating the wrong thing. So we see this quite a bit, and I'm glad you asked that question, because one of the things I want to say to the listening audience is that, you know, I have found in the years of working in the community that the best place to start now is with our kids and educating them on proper lifestyle, healthy lifestyle living, what foods to eat, what foods not to eat. I'm not going to say that we've lost a generation of people to food substances, but I will say that if we want to change the infant mortality rate, if we want to reduce diabetes, heart disease, we need to start with our youth and educating them on a proper way to live a healthy lifestyle. So I do see that quite a bit.
Yeah, and it's an unfortunate thing, because some of it is really just basic information and a lot of people don't have it. I mean, the fact is that these young girls that are expecting need protein, need vitamin D,
right.
need, because that child is going to pay a huge price if they don't have it, but they don't even know they need it in
exactly.
many instances.
Exactly.
So it's really, let me tell our listeners that you can listen to a conversation with Dawn Karima right here on Talktainment Radio. This is a special program that focuses on conversations with Native American thinkers, leaders, educators, and shapers of opinion, and it's broadcast exclusively on TalktainmentRadio.com, a conversation with Dawn Karima. I guess when you think about the work you do, one of the questions has got to be, what are you looking at in terms of success where you know that the work you're doing has a positive impact on lives? What do you do that keeps you going?
Well, one of the things that keeps me going is the attitude of being positive that things will change. Now, unfortunately, if I go out today and talk to some people and direct them toward healthcare, I may not see any success right away.
Mm-hmm.
But if I go back over my span of years of working in the community, I've seen some things happen that are very revealing. I've seen people take an interest in increasing their amount of exercise time. I've seen some people take an interest in changing what they give their kids to eat. I've seen some individuals that actually focus a little bit more on being more positive, because stress is a big contributor to our health being bad. So it's not something that I will see gratification right away. I wish I could, but if I was to chalk it up and say over the years, I've seen some pretty good substantial changes. Most gratifying would be getting a person who's never been to a family physician to go, and that they discover that they might have, say, high blood pressure, and they get on medication, and then they learn how to live with that and improve their lifestyle. So it just depends on what the situation is, but overall, we still got a long way to go, a long way to go.
One of my dear friends had an entire family that had exceedingly high blood pressure. And so it wasn't, like you said, the genes. It wasn't. I mean, his mother had it, his father had it, and everybody related to them. And one of the things that he learned along the way was biofeedback. And so when his blood pressure would spike, he would lay down on the floor, and within 15 minutes he could bring his blood pressure down. But he was trained to do that. He didn't. His other relatives, he tried to teach it to them, or at least encourage them to go get that training. But like, it's a problem of with a lack of information, and a lot of people don't know what does that spike in high blood pressure means. It means that you're threatening a stroke. I mean, and those everybody knows some long-term disabilities as a result of a stroke. So high blood pressure, bring it down. Right. Then figure out all the rest of the things,
You know, you gave a perfect example. Now, this is one of the things that I find difficult to do. Your friend learned how to basically meditate. And I say to people all the time, you know, have you ever tried meditating or taking yoga? Because it is a way of reducing stress, improving your overall blood pressure the whole night. And for a lot of people, like, no, that's not for me. But, you know, and I don't try to force it on anyone. I just say that this is something that you ought to try. And if you can open up your mind to try something that could improve your health, you'd be surprised what the outcome could be sometimes. So he learned how to meditate and reduce his blood pressure. Smart man.
Right. Well, and the thing is, it's available to everyone, and it doesn't have a cost.
It doesn't have a cost.
It works, and maybe for some people it's the wrong name. They when they go to church, they come out feeling so much better, and their blood pressure may have been reduced, and so that's the setting in which they do that. They sort of release a lot of things, but you mentioned the issue of stress, and of course there are just so many indicators of stress. I mean, in a depression, it's economic stress. There are these direct relationships between domestic violence and economic stress. So there are all these things. But then there's this other thing, which is called depression, that we have a number of people that are dealing with walking depression. Walking pneumonia, but walking depression. What do you see, because that's, in many cases, community-wide, what do you see as the impact of depression on the health horizon?
It's really huge. I mean, the unfortunate thing is that some people are, as you say, walking depression, being depressed, and don't even know it. That's their normal. One of the things it impacts your health, first of all. It affects your ability to function as a family member, as a worker, employee. And the sad part about it is that when you say to an individual, you know, you might want to go get some help with this, the first thing that raises in their mind is that I don't have a mental health issue. And it's not a mental health. It's not taboo. We all have some type of mental health. But if I say behavioral health, it has a different kind of connotation to it. It might make individuals more apt to go talk to someone. Now, for black men, the greatest therapy and counseling sessions that they have is in the barbershop. They will talk to one another about their behavior or their concerns. But to get them to go to a professional, you got to work on that. So this depression thing is there.
Well, it's an unfortunate situation as well, because there was an attorney talking about the fact that in the courtroom, if a person has a mental health issue, it can impact the sentencing for minor or serious crimes because they have a reason for this. It wasn't just something. And it happened to be female, and she was saying that there were people who'd rather go to jail for life than say, I have a mental health issue. Call me all kind of other things, but don't call me crazy. And it's not crazy. It's overload in many instances. And so Actually, this came about in connection with one of the programs for the African-American Male Wellness Walk. And what she was saying is, don't deny me a resource when I'm defending black men. Let me defend them with everything that's available.
Right.
And so she gave the example. A young white guy comes in. He's depressed and has some issue. And they say, okay, we're going to let you out, but you got to have this many sessions with a professional. The young black guy says, well, just send me to prison. You know, he said, no, no, you don't have to go to prison. And yet that's what we have to deal with. Well, we've kind of talked about the institutional and the community issue, but I know because I heard you recently talking about this, but you really are encouraging people to deal with their own and their individual health.
Yes.
So what is the formula that you recommend in terms of improving the individual health?
Well, one of the first things I always say is that, you know, we are basically responsible for our own health. I mean, it's about choice. So if you choose to eat a lot of processed foods, or if you choose not to exercise, you're giving up your control of being healthy. So I try to keep it simple, and people say, well, what do I need to do to be healthy? And it's not always take medication. It's not always run to the medicine cabinet to think that that's the best cure. Some of the things that I recommend is, first of all, is food. You know, food is not the devil. It's fake food that's the devil. You know, if it's fresh, whole food, fruits and grains, veggies, that's the first place I tell people to start. Cut out the salt, the sugar, and white bread. And a lot of people don't want to give up those things because they say my grandmama ate it or whatever. Second thing I would talk about would be getting enough sleep. You know, if you look at it like this, sleep is the time when your body takes to itself to the shop and it runs the repair software. You know, that's when everything is repaired in your body. I guess the third thing would be exercise. You know, people say, well, I walk and I do this, but if you don't get your body up to the point where you sweat at least a little bit, you're not really affecting your cardiovascular system. So that's that important piece of that, because exercise actually gives you more energy to do more things. And then, as you mentioned earlier about your friend laying on the floor, I call it meditation, but another way I could respond to that would be just to say, find ways to reduce your stress. You know, it's about being, not just doing. You know, it sounds like a strange concept to people, but, you know, you have to take time to measure your accomplishments and relax and deal with getting rid of that stress. And then I guess the last thing is what I see in you a lot is having a positive attitude. You know, you got to have a positive attitude. You know, some people, you know, cringe when you say, well, you got to have love for something that you do. Well, I think it's enthusiasm. Like, I'm enthusiastic about talking about health. I'm enthusiastic about cycling. Find whatever it is that you are enthused about, and that is a healthy beginning to creating a healthy lifestyle, loving what you do.
Now, you haven't put a price tag to either one of these things. So, in other words, these are actually available to everybody in the community.
You don't even have to leave your house to do any of these. The big thing is attitude. You know, if you choose, like I said before, if you choose to do the things that will make you healthy, it's free. Mm-hmm. You know, walking is free. I'm not going to say eating is free, but cooking at home is less costly than eating out, and it's better for you. So there are just so many things that we can do. And you know, when it comes to food, if you look in our community, particularly African American community, Hispanic community, those communities are peppered with fast foods.
Yes.
And so it's a matter of economy. What can you afford? Oh, it's easier for me to run to a fast food restaurant and get some fries or a burger, but the cost long term is going to be either the emergency room or some doctor bills, whereas opposed to eating fresh fruits and vegetables that you prepare at home, and time is an issue, you'll be better off. But it's not by accident. It's by design. That we have these kind of places in our community.
Well, one of the things that I remember from a long time ago when my wife was working with infant stimulation, just helping little ones get to reading and that sort of thing. And she encountered a young mother who worked, who rode the bus, and who was a single parent. And she said that in order for her to be with her daughter in the evenings, she cooked two meals at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's same process,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
You know, and the question is, we're going to eat the same thing today that we ate yesterday. Well, when you go to the fast food restaurant, you're eating the same thing. But it's imitation. And so it was an interesting thing, because what I want to know for a lot of other people is, well, why in the world don't you do that? Start out Sunday cooking two meals so that Monday you don't have the harried evening, because you got a meal already prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're eating that meal, prepare the meal for the next 2 days. And it seemed to me to be a pretty simple solution, and and one that a lot of people can't encounter, because what you just said about the fast food, convenient, it's right around the corner. Quote, cheap. Unfortunately,
right.
Cheap is not always good. And, of course, the problem is that it doesn't have the nutrition that people think.
Right.
You can buy 10 pounds of sweet potatoes for what a large bag of potato chips cost.
That's right.
And sweet potatoes are a lot more nutritious than Irish potatoes. And that's not a racist thing to say.
You know that. And you know this. You know.
Yeah.
It's a matter of choices again.
Right. And so you end up with a situation where in many instances people just – first they haven't processed it. I've got to go through this, this whatever the distress, and instead of saying, well, let me just take advantage. I mean, you may not like slow cooking meals,
right,
but
right. If
it's going to save your life, why not use it? And the second thing, the two meals at one time, to me – I would think that would be the most natural thing. So, you know, we just have situations where people are insisting on not being able to address that, and that the time element is just so critical because it creates stress everywhere, at home, at work, mm-hmm. and all over the place. Let me tell our listeners, you're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Check us out on WCRS-FM 98.3 Wednesday and Sunday evenings. Blogs and podcasts are available. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. Radio, the way it should be heard. Stay right there. We're talking about health issues with John Tolbert right here on Key Facts with Grady Pettigrew, and of course on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is the premier internet radio platform, offering 40-plus talk radio-style programs professionally produced, optimized for online distribution, featuring Columbus.